We're in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Plan to finish the chapter. Some places in Scripture are easier to just gravitate to than others, right? And that doesn't mean that the other Scriptures they don't have value. It doesn't mean that they're less of the revelation of God. No, they're 100% part of the revelation of God, just like the others, and we need it all. We shouldn't exclude any of it. And so we've been going through Genesis, which is not, there's a lot there, but there's also a lot that's not there. And it really does take some time to stop and meditate and think through these things. And I guess I for myself, I've never really done that until we're doing this now. Oh, sure, we've read through it before, but I've not really stopped to think and meditate. And usually the first time I stopped and think and meditate about it, there's much I still need to go back and stop and meditate and think on. And so I kind of sense this as we go through this as kind of a, it's not really a surface level, but it's kind of a first run through. You know, sometimes you got to go back up and do it again. It's like having a lawnmower with bad blades. You go through once, but maybe you need to do it a second time to get the rest of the grass that your blades didn't get. So all that to say is, as we go through, we're just going to look at what it says, and we're just going to try and understand what he's actually saying here. And as we find correlations or things to point out, we'll do that. We are familiar with the story of Genesis. I think very well. We're very familiar with it. Although some of the details, sometimes we've either maybe, I'll say for myself, but I think for probably many, we insert things that we think are there that doesn't actually say that. And sometimes we don't know that some things are there that are there. And so it's good to go through this. This is foundational too. And part of the reason why we're going through Genesis is because it's foundational. We were talking about giving evidence to the four different kinds of people to show people the Lord. We want to show the Lord. So much confusion out there. You know, ultimately people are going to have to surrender their heart to the Lord. But we can just show them the evidence and just proclaim the name of the Lord like the prophets of old did, and show who the Lord is, like John the Baptist as well, or even our Lord Jesus Christ or the apostles. And so part of that, though, is having a good foundation, understanding what Genesis says, and because so much of what is twisted and perverted starts all the way back in Genesis, especially chapters 1 through 11. That's where it's very much perverted. And so that's why we're going through this. As you look at chapter 4, well, chapter 1, we have creation. And chapter 2 is kind of, it's a retelling here of creation, but particularly the generations of Adam, man, humans, and the garden and how the woman was made, the Isha. And chapter 3 tells us about their violation, their sin. What was their sin? You know, people want to say, you know, it was this or this or this, and you could get minute. It's true. There were so many things that you could point to. When did they sin? It was at the moment that they decided to violate God in their heart before they ever touched or before they ever ate of it. Maybe Eve in usurping really the authority of the man. And there's so many things you could look at. But bottom line is God said, don't eat. And they ate. And at the moment they ate, that's when the consequence is dying, they will die. Now, so we looked at all that and the consequences of that, the curse, the idea that the woman will want to, her desire will be to the man, meaning she'll want to take over control, and he must rule in her, and he must do that. That's God's design, and that didn't change. God's design for the man headship did not change. But what happened was the conflict. That's what changed, the woman and the man's conflict. But God's design didn't change there. And there were some other things, but we won't go to chapter 3. We went to chapter 4 2 weeks ago, I believe. And we looked at the Cain and Abel. And the whole situation here, first, the foundation that they had much knowledge. How do we know it? Well, we looked at some of those things. We looked at the knowledge of giving an offering, which I believe probably came from Adam and Eve. They gave them that knowledge. How did they have that knowledge? Probably from the coats of skin that they got, probably. Doesn't explicitly say that, but the coats of skin were probably of animal skin, right? Of course. And so that's probably where they got that idea, but they knew that they should bring an offering to the Lord. And reality is they knew that they should give a blood sacrifice. I believe that is true because Abel came in firmness to God, standing upon the Lord in faith. And the scripture is very clear about that. And Cain consequently did not. He did not do that. And we looked at that. And even how Abel came with the firstling of the flock. It was of the flock, the firstlings, and of the fat. All those things they knew even back in Genesis, before the Lord gave that to the children of Israel in the Levitical sacrificial system, those stipulations. This was done even before, and these people knew much. And we could look at Enoch, and we could look at Adam, and we could look at Noah, and we could look at so many people who knew a lot of stuff. They're not Neanderthals, you know, roaming around, don't know anything, as science says they were back this far. Well, chapter 4, so we know the story, Cain and Abel. The Lord turned to look. He had respect unto Abel's offering, but not to Cain's. Because of that, Cain, his countenance fell. You could see that, but it burned to him. He was jealous. He was angry. He was wroth, envious. He was upset. And the Lord dealt with him. And Cain chose not to submit to the Lord. Rather, he killed his brother. And we looked at the consequences of that. In verse 13, Cain said of chapter 4, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And let me just say this too, because people do talk about this mark of Cain and the descendants of Cain. I was looking at that a little bit before. People talking about who are the descendants of Cain today. I mean, if you read your Bible, it's pretty clear Cain's descendants are all dead. There are none. Because it was the descendants of who? Of Noah. And Noah was of Seth. It was of Seth, who was of Adam, which is not of the line of Cain. So there are no Cainites in that sense. Now there are Canaanites, but that's a different name, different person, different line. Okay, well, so here in verse, so we just read about how the Lord had set this mark, this symbol upon Cain. So Cain went out and he wandered about. And it's in verse 17. We're just going to look at, as we go through this, it's going to give us some generations. It's going to tell us about some of the first generations of people. And so we'll just take a minute, slow down a little bit, look at the names, and consider some of these things. In verse 16, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Nod is wandering, is the word. It's the land of wandering, and that's what the Lord said he would do, on the east of Eden. Okay. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Okay, so then Cain knew his wife, or his woman, literally. I think we talked about this a little bit. Cain, his word, his name in Hebrew is Cain, Cain. And it means to hold or to contain or to acquire something. Okay, and she called him Cain because I have gotten a man child. I have used that word in a verb form. I have obtained, I have acquired a man with the Lord. By the way, Cain, it's where we get our word can, right? You get your vegetables and you can them, right? You put them in a can, and it's something that holds or something that you contains. which is interesting. It's also where we get our word cane, like you walk on a cane. But there's a lot of things when you look at etymologies. Interesting. But you have Cain. He was acquired of the Lord. But it says, he knew his woman, then she conceived and bore Enoch, or literally Hanok. Hanok. Enoch. So we have Enoch. Now, this is not the Enoch that made himself walk with God. Okay, that's a different Enoch. Same name, but a different man. The word Hanok, Hanok means dedicated. Okay, dedicated. Interesting. Don't want to read too much into the meanings of these names. And I'll say this, they're not easy sometimes. You'll read like Strong's, or you'll read Brown, Drivers, Briggs, or other people. They give meanings to these things. As you read them, you see they're not sure, or they have an idea, but their idea, you think, I don't see it that way. There's sometimes you can see things three or four different ways, which is interesting. But we'll just look at them as we go through. So then he existed building a city. Who was building a city? It was Cain. Cain built the city, and he named the city after his son, Hanok, Enoch. And then it talks about the next one. Hanok means dedicated. And then was born to Hanok. You have, let's see if I can find it here. Yes, and then was born to Enoch, Irad, Iraq, literally, Iraq, or Irad, which the meaning of that word is interesting. The only thing I found with that similar structure is the word for a wild ass, which is interesting. Then you have Irad, he bore, you have this other man, which is Mechol Yael, which is interesting. So this one has a few different ideas. So you have Mechol Yael. Some people see the ale at the end. Ale at the end of a word means God, typically. So you have ale at the end, so God. And then you have another triliteral root here, the idea of to be smitten. Smitten by God, some people say. Or, which is interesting, some people will say it means smitten by God, or it means God makes alive. Well, those are two different ideas. But you can see where they get it from when you look at the letters. But as I was looking at it, I don't think it's ale. I think it's Yael. And Yael is a different word entirely, which talks about the determination or the will, and being wiped of will or being wiped of determination. So I'm not being dogmatic about any of this, of course. We're just looking at some of these words. You go to the next one here. So he bore Mechok Yael, and then Mechok Yael, he bore, then you have Methushael. Interesting. Methushael. Does that sound like any other body's name? Like Methuselah? Yeah, very similar. In fact, the beginning of their word, of their name, is the same. Methu. Then you have Shael, and then Methuselah, or Shalek. And Methuselah, his name means the dying of him, and then it has the word for to send. So it's the idea of, you know, when he dies, the Lord's going to send something, is kind of an interpretation of his name. But this is similar as well. Methushael, which, let's see if I can find it here. Yes, Shael is an interesting word. Shael, it's kind of like Shimuel, but I don't think it's Shimuel, because Shimuel is heard of God, not asked of God. But Shael means to ask something. It's interesting. It's like Sheol. Same word, different vowel points, but Sheol. Sheol is the place, often translated hell. It would be the place of the dead ones. It's like a holding tank of dead ones. Sheol, and people would say, well, because it's the place of those that are asked for, right? You see someone die, and you go over there, and you try and talk with them, and you say, where are they? You know, where did they go? Because obviously they're not there. So where did they go? They're in Sheol, the place of those asked for, is kind of the idea, which is interesting. But this word, to ask, and then you have Methu, and then you have to ask. Methu would be the dying of him, he asks, kind of like he's asking to die, it seems like. Again, I'm not being dogmatic on any of these, just looking at some of the words. But this is the line of Cain, again, as well. So, and they're living life, you know, they're living life, but they're not following the Lord, by and large. I mean, perhaps in some ways, but not in other ways, in their own way. Cain went from the presence of the Lord. And so Methushael, he bore Lamech, which again, it's a hard one as well. It's not just right there, oh, this name means this. If it has the Lamed preposition on the front, that would be two or four. And then the rest of that word would be like decay, two or four decay, which maybe that's what it means. I don't know. But he tells us a little bit more about Lamech. Again, these are not godly men. And if you read in verse 19, it says, "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah." Okay, so he's telling us about the family. This one's interesting because it seems like they're giving a bigger family picture. You know, he had two wives, and Adah had two sons, Jabal and Jubal. Not a lot of variety there. And then on the other side, you have Tubal-Cain, and you have Naamah, okay, a brother and a sister. Interesting. Okay. So, Lamech, he took to him two of women, the name of the one, Adah. I believe Adah means to pass over or pass upon. And then the name of the second was Zillah, which is to go forward or to pass on. The idea of like to continue. But let me just say this. This has never been God's design. Though people have been polygamous in the scriptures and even to this very present day, it has never been God's design, nor has it ever been approved by God that this is okay, that you should have many wives. And Jesus affirms that as well. But from the beginning, it was not so. And who do you see having two wives? I mean, even Abraham did not have two wives at one time. We know the concubine situation, but even that they knew wasn't right. So he has these two wives. He gives the names. And Adah bore Yaval. And his name, I believe, means to carry or carried along. He existed, father of one dwelling in a tent and cattle. So we would think of this perhaps like a nomadic people, like the Bedouin type people in the Asia, where they just travel around with their animals and their tents, or maybe like Mongolians or the Siberians, or so many people who are nomadic and they just travel with their herds and with their tents. And he says he's the father. He was the first one to really do that lifestyle. Interesting. The name of his brother was Yuval, very similar, just a change in the vowel. So perhaps the idea of being brought along, a passive idea. He existed, the father of entirety of one holding the harp and pipe, or the lair, the harp, some kind of stringed instrument and a pipe, like a flute of some kind. And so you see, okay, you have these people developing different things. You have Zillah, she also, she bore. Then you have this word, Tubal-Cain, which is compounds, two words. You have Tubal and you have Cain. Cain is the same name for his dad, great father up there, Cain. Same name, which is interesting. Which I believe is the idea of to waste, or weariness of Cain, which is interesting. Weariness of Cain. But he says that he is literally, he's one instructor, instructing. He's the instructor, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. So he's kind of the father of metalwork, right? Of these different things. And he says he is an instructor. That word instructor is the word to sharpen. He's sharpening, okay, in the sense of teaching and instructing someone. The entirety of one working in bronze or copper and iron there. And then also it's interesting, it mentions the sister of Tubal-Cain, which is Naamah, which I believe means pleasant, sweet, or agreeable. So we can see now, okay, what happened very early on. We can see early on that man is developing and creating. These aren't Neanderthals, as the world would call ancient civilization. These are highly intelligent beings, but though they are intelligent, and though they have not stayed very, very far, or strayed very, very far from the Lord at this point, they had a sin nature, and we're going to see that sin nature, it just comes out. It's going to come out. Early sins, you have kids that grow up in a Christian home, and on the outside, people can look at them and say, oh, they're great kids, and they can look great because they grew up and they're supposed to do certain things, but their heart could be really far from the Lord. So it can look like, well, they're pretty good. And it's the same thing with Cain, for instance. I mean, he's bringing an offering to the Lord and all these things, and you think, what's the big deal? It's pretty good. You know, at least he's doing something, right, for the Lord. Could be a lot worse, right? But as you deviate, even if it's a little, you just keep going that way, the gap gets bigger and bigger, and we're going to see it get bigger and bigger and worse and worse. Well, it says here, it says that we have some another murder take place here. In verse 23, it says, "And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt." Now, I've heard people say, well, he killed two people here. No, he didn't kill two people. He's giving parallelism here. And let me point that out, for he says, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech," saying two things same way, or two different ways, same thing. Then he says, "For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt," again saying two things, two different aspects of the same thing. And it's kind of like a proverb in a sense. But he's not done with it. He has one more line here. "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." So there's the last line of this. It's kind of written in a parallelistic form. So, kind of interesting. Okay, so, murder. "Lamech said to his women, hear my voice, ye women of Lamech, cause to hear the saying of me." So we read that. He said that he, a man or an individual, I killed to the hurt of me, to the wound of me. So sounds like he was wounded, he was hurt, and he killed an individual. He's going to say this another line saying the same thing a different way. "And a lad or a young man, a born one," someone young, "I killed," doesn't say it, but "I killed," as you understood, "to the bruise of me." So he bruised me and I killed him. But then he says, "Sevenfold, Cain will be avenged, and Lamech 70 and seven." Interesting. So he killed someone. By the way, who was this lad? Who was this boy? Who was this young man? Everyone at this point would be very close family. I'm not saying they were close, they hang out together or anything like that. But, I mean, really, the families, they would be pretty close. There's not a lot of families out there. Who is this boy? He's somebody's boy. He's somebody's young man somewhere. And though the timeline here is not really clear, you know, when did this happen exactly? I mean, we could maybe guess a little bit, but we don't know how old they were when they had their children. Didn't say in this passage. We can track Seth's line. That would be different. In fact, Seth is born in year 130 of Adam. But when did this happen? Because of the placement in the text, it seems like maybe it happened before Seth was born. We're going to see that in verse 25 in a minute when we get there. But again, people probably had many, many children, more than what's written in Scripture. What we have here is probably just the firstborns are named. They may have had they must have had daughters as well, right? Who did they marry, right? They didn't just come here and there were women already on the earth. It didn't happen. So they had more than children that were listed here, okay? But it seems as if this lad, this boy, he was bruising, he was wounding Lamech. Well, okay, so you got a scenario. And this is fresh in my mind because I deal with scenarios all the time when kids come to you and somebody did something, okay? And usually when someone does something, that action that happened didn't just come out of the blue. It usually, okay, that's in the middle of so many different things. Why did you do that? What caused you to do that? Well, she was doing this. Well, why did she do that? Because he was doing this. And it's kind of a big circle, and everybody's trying to get justice back and getting bigger and bigger and doing bigger things to each other, and it becomes a big deal. We don't know who the lad was, but it seems as if this young man was bruising Lamech. Okay, so why was he doing that? Why was he bruising Lamech? Was it in response to something that Lamech was doing to him? I don't know. Didn't say. But we do know this, that he bruised him and Lamech killed him. We know that much. Again, it's the human nature coming out. You get angry. What do you want to do? You want to just, you know, us guys, you just want to let it out. Right? At least it can be that way. But you can see how awful this was. I mean, you know, when you're young and you grew up in a Christian home, I'll put that caveat, and perhaps many of you didn't. But you know, you grow up sheltered, and we praise the Lord for that. But you think of things like divorce, and you think about things like all sorts of things that you hear about, you know that exists, but it's way far away from you. It's not, you don't know anybody like that. No, nobody's that deep into sin in this way or that way. But if something happens really close, it's like, ooh, a big blow. Like, wow, how could this happen? You know, we in our family, not my family, but there are people we know that, things happen. You think, what in the world? What in the world's going on? And kind of blows you. And as you get older, of course, you learn that the world's wicked and it's everywhere. And you almost don't get surprised, which isn't great, really. But think about this. This has not happened before, okay? Or at least we don't have record of it. I mean, we have record of Cain killing his brother Abel, but this is the second time. And then a boy or a young man of some kind, that he kills him. You know, you think, whoa, wait a minute. We're killing another person. This was a big deal. Everyone knew it was awful. For as much as is written, this is the second, as far as much as we know, this is the second murder, and perhaps the second human death that we know of. Don't know that for sure, of course, but according to what we have a record of here. But I also think, you know, in our day, in our age, violence, sin, evil, it's so prevalent, isn't it? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We've become so desensitized. You think about, did you hear about the shooting yesterday? I think it was Idaho Falls, and I hadn't heard the update on it yet. But you think, oh, just another headline, another shooting, right? This goes on, oh, another person did this, another person did that. It's just kind of, oh, that's too bad, but it's another headline. It's not uncommon to see anymore, and we kind of just take it off. But that was not the case very early on, of course, because it's like, wow, wait a minute, what's going on? Killing people. Sometimes, this would be good for us, I believe. Sometimes we need a good look at how gross and how evil all of this garbage is. I'm not saying we go looking for evil so we can know what evil is out there, right? We want to be simple concerning evil. But to contemplate how far a deviation it is from God, the idea of killing other people, the idea of all these other things, this murder or so many things, wicked things, and just to get it set in our minds how wicked it is and to get way far away from it. It's very hard this day and age to not, I'm going to say this improperly, too many negatives, but to not become desensitized to evil. It's hard. It just comes. You just get people dressing immodestly or whatever it is. It's there, and so you kind of get desensitized. But the Lord help us to think correctly. Think as He has said we should think about it. Okay, so we're almost done here. Let's just end the chapter with the last two verses. It says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos or Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Interesting. So we have a seed here instead of Abel. Adam knew yet his woman. She bore a son. She called his name Sheth. Sheth means to set. Okay, why? Because God had set. Well, he says here, because God set to me another seed instead of Hebel. Hebel, Abel. His name means vapor or to exhale, something to exhale in that way. And perhaps in the idea, at least post looking back, because his life was so short, like a vapor. But, and he also says, because Cain killed him. And to Seth also, this one, a son was born. So who was born to Seth? It says, then he called his name, literally, Enosh. Enosh. There are different words for man in Scripture. You have Adam, which means human. You have Ish, which means an individual. Then you have the word Gever, which means a mighty man, strong man. He's a Gever. Then you have the word Enosh. It's another word for man, and it means man in his weakness. Man in his weakness. That's what his name means. Man in his weakness. And at this time, at that time, to calling of in the name of Yahya was begun. It was opened. People began to call in the name of Yahya. And kind of interesting here. At first glance, a man who says, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be who I want to be. I'm going to do what I want to do. And at first glance, man doing his own thing, he seems strong and he seems mighty. You know, they're stiff-necked, they're strong, they're stout-hearted, right? I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get it the way I want to do it. And they seem strong, but it doesn't take long before his weakness overcomes him, like Lamech here. And we can see how Seth understood that man was weak. He named his son, man in his weakness. And this understanding caused men... See, this understanding that man is weak caused men to call in the name of Yahya. That's pretty interesting. That's critical, really. For if man doesn't think he's weak, doesn't really need God, does he? Right? I'm a strong Christian. Right? I don't need, you don't say it, but like, I don't really need God as much as some other people do because I'm a strong Christian, right? That's crazy. That's crazy. It's critical, for man doesn't think he's weak. If he doesn't think he's weak, he really doesn't need God. But we need to be able to say, like Paul does in 2 Corinthians 12, where he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's weird, Paul. You're weird. That's not natural thinking. You remember Brother Cloud, John Cloud, in his when he was talking about other things, he had mentioned how we as Christians, we avoid things that weaken us. Not weaking us spiritually, but we want to avoid things that make us weak. But that which humbles us, we want to avoid it. But really, you see that it's God's design for us to recognize and also to not avoid our weakness or that which may weaken us. It's not bad to be weak. Paul realized it's not bad to be weak. Like, I'm not able to do it, Lord. It's not a bad thing. Why? Because we look to our Lord for strength. We want to be strengthened in Him. We want Him to get the glory, that the glory might be in Him and not in the earthen vessel, right? That's why He uses, uncomely things for His glory. So Seth recognized at this time, well, you see Lamech murdered, and he says, wow, man is weak. We are weak. We need help. We need a Savior, is what they needed. We need the Lord, and they begin to call in the name of the Lord. And that's why he called his name, the name of his son, Enosh, man in his weakness. Dear Father, we thank you that you are our God. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd, and we need help, and we need to think right and be holy and humble. And truly, Lord, we need you, and we pray that you would strengthen us and you'd get glory through us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you give us. Thank you for the account here. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen each and you would meet their needs, each of our needs here. I know we each have needs, and I pray, Lord, you'd help and you would strengthen us. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And help us to be what we ought to be for each other. And give us wisdom as we interact with each other and with the world and those abroad. And give us opportunities, give us wisdom, Lord. It's our desire. And we thank you, Lord, for all these things. Help us, prepare us for tomorrow and what you have for us this afternoon, and help us to remember what you've shown us today. In Christ's name we ask, amen.